Once, on a dark winter's day, when the yellow fog hung thick and heavy in the streets of London, a little girl sat in a cab with her feet tucked under her and leaned against her father as she stared out of the window at the passing people, with a queer old-fashioned thoughtfulness in her big eyes. It would have been an old look for a child of 12, and Sarah Crewe was only 7. At this moment, she was remembering the voyage she had just made from Bombay with her father, Captain Crewe, and thinking of what a queer thing it was that at one time one was in India in the blazing sun, and then in the middle of the ocean, and then driving in a strange vehicle through strange streets where the day was as dark as the night.
"Papa, is this the place?" Sarah whispered.
"Yes, little Sarah, it is. We have reached it at last." Her mother had died when she was born, so she had never known or missed her. Her young, handsome, rich father seemed to be the only relation she had in the world. During her short life, only one thing had troubled her, and that thing was the place she was to be taken to some day. The climate of India was very bad for children, and as soon as possible they were sent away to England and to school.
"Couldn't you go to that place with me, Papa?" she had asked when she was 5. "Couldn't you go to school too? I would help you with your lessons."
"But you will not have to stay for a very long time, little Sarah," he had said. "You will go to a nice house where there will be a lot of little girls and you will play together, and I will send you plenty of books, and you will grow so fast it will seem scarcely a year before you are big enough and clever enough to come back and take care of Papa." She had liked to think of that, to keep the house for her father, to ride with him and sit at the head of his table when he had dinner parties, to talk to him and read his books. That would be what she would like most in the world. And if one must go away to the place in England to attain it, she must make up her mind to go.
"Well, Papa," she said, "if we are here, I suppose we must be resigned."
He laughed at her old-fashioned speech and held her in his arms as the cab rolled into the big, dull square in which stood their destination. A big, dull, brick house exactly like all the others in its row, but that on the front door there shone a brass plate on which was engraved in black letters, "Miss Minchin, Select Seminary for Young Ladies." They mounted the steps and rang the bell. Sarah often thought afterward that the house was somehow exactly like Miss Minchin. It was respectable and well furnished, but everything in it was ugly, and the very armchairs seemed to have hard bones in them.
"I don't like it, Papa," she said. "But then I dare say soldiers, even brave ones, don't really like going into battle."
Captain Crewe laughed. "Oh, little Sarah, what shall I do when I have no one to say solemn things to me?" And then he suddenly swept her in his arms and kissed her very hard. It was just then that Miss Minchin entered the room. She had large, cold, fishy eyes and a large, cold, fishy smile.
"It will be a great privilege to have charge of such a beautiful and promising child, Captain Crewe," she said, taking Sarah's hand and stroking it. "Lady Meredith has told me of her unusual cleverness."
Sarah stood quietly, with her eyes fixed upon Miss Minchin's face.
"Why does she say I am a beautiful child?" she was thinking. "I am not beautiful at all. Colonel Granger's little girl, Isabel, is beautiful. She has dimples and rose-coloured cheeks and long hair the colour of gold. I am a thin child, and one of the ugliest children I ever saw. She is beginning by telling a story."
She was mistaken, however, in thinking she was an ugly child. She was not in the least like Isabel Grange, who had been the beauty of the regiment. But she had an odd charm of her own. She was rather tall for her age. Her hair was heavy and quite black, and her eyes were greenish-grey with long black lashes. Sarah was to be what was known as a parlour boarder, and she was to enjoy even greater privileges than parlour boarder.